Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, a community-owned and operated hospital, here for you when you need us. From emergency care to routine checkups and screenings, caregivers are here and ready to provide the safe, high-quality care you need close to home. Online at sanjuanregional.com with the latest health information and resources to help you live life better here.
I'm Megan Culp, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning once again. Here we are, Friday morning.
Once again, which I always breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, you really do.
I know, it's like a ritual.
Yeah, another Solutions from the Street.
That's right.
Right, that's why we're here this week. And of course, every other week, we present another solution to a problem that we have come to notice and want to find a solution for. So we are back.
Yes.
Same old graphic.
I know, and I know that this bothers you because my name is first.
But it does. Does. Hasn't been fixed.
I thought you had friends in high places.
Here, I thought I did too. Apparently not. So apparently you do.
I guess so. I bribed him with free KSJE t-shirts.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I got it. Well, anyway, but we're back. So good to have you here. Good to see you. And this week's solution is based on the problem, which is a pretty serious problem here about homelessness. Mm-hmm. And of course, as the weather gets colder, homelessness becomes a bigger and bigger problem in San Juan County.
Yeah, homelessness is endemic across the United States, and it's a problem that is notoriously difficult to and challenging to solve because many homeless individuals have a lot of factors going on that led to this state, and a lot of those are hard to manage as well. So
right, I think a lot of folks aren't just suffering from homelessness. They may have some substance abuse issues or other problems as well that kind of complicate the solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay. All right, very good. So we found two people with a solution.
Yes, which is huge.
To this problem. And I know they represent a larger community that is working on this solution because it's a big problem. But shall we introduce them and talk about the solution then?
That's right. So we have Catherine Abeda and Jen Johnson from United Way, San Juan United Way, with us here.
Yes. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Great to see you all.
I don't know if there's a cooler introduction than being a part of the solution.
I know.
And so good to be here.
That's right.
So good to be here. Wow, no pressure. So no pressure. Solution to homelessness. So
yeah, right.
I want to first say that it's not this. What we're working on right now and our solution from the street is a short-term temporary solution. Really, it's serving a larger purpose as a study for us to be able to gather the data we need here within San Juan County to make bigger moves within the community to establish 24-hour emergency shelter for anyone. Right now there are options, but there's a lot of qualifications, and that leaves a lot of people who some slip through the cracks, but some don't qualify for an existing program, and they're unsafe on the street. They, like you said, they need access and help getting access to a lot of other services. Maybe even they need help getting access to a service just to qualify to be able to be eligible for a sheltering program. So it's a really complex problem that we don't have one solution for, but we believe that the solution already exists and we want to scale it up. So we believe that this one-month study that we're working on is going to not only help a lot of people, but really help educate that overall eventual long-term solution.
So what kinds of folks don't qualify, that are in that like liminal space between qualifying and not qualifying, but also struggling, what's going on there? What kind of folks are we talking about?
Great question. So there's two parts to that answer, really. There's one group of people who maybe would qualify, but for the fact that the program isn't open after 5, and their crisis shows up maybe in the middle of the night, they're in danger. And so that's one subset of people who need help and would qualify, but they're not safe at night. People who are slipping through the cracks and then are not qualifying for existing services right now are people who have known or unknown and untreated behavioral and mental health, any types of issues where they would need to have any kind of medication, any kind of treatment, really, and case management. That's really not the capacity that these emergency shelters that exist have. So that goes beyond what someone locally or what the local solutions that exist can do. So people who are experiencing a mental or behavioral health crisis often end up with law enforcement or at the hospital instead. And that's a worse consequence to the community.
Sure. And you mentioned that this is a complicated problem, and mm-hmm. so the solution, I would think, is probably somewhat complicated too, because you have all these different levels of homelessness and individuals, right, that are suffering from maybe just homelessness, don't know where to go at night, or other issues that are coming up as well. And so we want to certainly commend the current homeless shelters that we have here in the area that serve this population, but even they have a limit. And you talked a little bit about that, right?
Absolutely. So we have a great network of existing solutions. You know, there's shelter for anyone, even with children, to escape a domestic violence situation at any time of the night.
Yes.
That exists in our county.
Already.
Yep. There exists a solution for a child who is taken out of their home for abuse and neglect. There is a solution for them to have safe housing immediately, any time of night. There are solutions for some people who have maybe they're experiencing a milder case of homelessness, or they have solutions during the daytime. And then in addition, there is, we have a sobering center and TOTA Behavioral Health. They do an incredible program for people who, it's the wet shelter, and that doesn't open until November 1st. And it's actually not open year round. It's only open between November 1st and March 31st. And the main purpose of that is to prevent exposure deaths. Because of the cold weather and because of the known people who are sleeping on the streets, it gives them safe shelter. But nobody under 18 can go. If you're not intoxicated, that might not be a safe place for you to go. There's an expansion program there that is also helping to serve that, but really that's what we're working to advocate for, is more 24-hour, 365 emergency shelter for anyone.
Very good. And Jen, maybe you can speak to what I would call like micro efforts. So maybe efforts that individuals in the community are doing, some things that have been done in the past to address this issue in a sort of more grassroots way.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the greatest things about getting to have this sort of a platform and the shows like you guys have, because we may not have a brand new homeless shelter and a new set of affordable housing to solve this problem, but the grassroots efforts by this community are always phenomenal. And so I think simply knowing the things that you didn't know are a very good step. Just like when people learn that homeless shelters' number one requests are clean socks or underwear, because you don't think about that type of thing. Someone leaving a domestic violence situation 75% of the time won't leave if there's a pet, unless there's somewhere that can go. And so it's these little things that get your mind working on what really some of those smaller level problems are that can be fixed, such as the eviction moratorium. You know, once people are unable to get their rents covered that are backdated because they don't know about programs available or whether they qualify, then we're going to have a whole nother burden of people with nowhere to go. And so it's spreading that word early about, you know, there's this program I heard about, or maybe you can call this place and maybe they can help you to prevent that from getting worse and worse. So knowing that those things are out there and then how you can help, even if it's on a small level. Sometimes it is buying socks. Sometimes it's getting involved in a United Way campaign so that we can continue to try to get to these meetings and things to find out what is available, because that is our greater mission. We raise money through the community for programs, but essentially we want to all work ourselves out of a job in the nonprofit world.
Ideally.
Sure. So
that's that's a great way to put it.
Very true. And so talk a little bit about then this study that is starting, right? So it's really trying to identify these folks who kind of are falling through the cracks a little bit, or maybe aren't eligible for some of the existing homeless shelters and programs that we already have in place.
Yeah, and actually to even just speak to what Jen just said about how important it is when we as community members can even use a platform like this to speak about a problem, even from our perspective, that's how this came together, was so many local agencies having their own perspectives and interactions with somebody experiencing homelessness. And it took all of us having to come together. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we all met the United Way conference room together. There was the Farmington Police Department, the San Juan County Sheriff's Office, San Juan Regional Medical Center, San Juan County, the Mental Wellness Resource Center.
Right.
So many tongue twisters here.
PMS,
TOTA, San Juan Regional, Aztec PD, Bloomfield PD.
All the right people. I think, right?
And really, when you think of this problem as a community-wide problem, you know, it's not like our job is to raise money, but we can't solve homelessness. It's a community-wide effort, and for everyone in that, everyone I just named was able to come together in the room and express how this problem and not having a solution impacts their work. For law enforcement, it impacts their work because they can identify that they'll get a dozen calls a night from concerned citizens who see someone sleeping in their car. And so they're having to make a dozen welfare calls when maybe there could be, the study is really, I mean, what is the cost on our community mm-hmm. already to be not doing the very best we could? And we're not giving these first responders the solution because they don't exist. So if they don't have a resource, they're left to go check on them a dozen times. And that's not a solution. So in the month that we're studying this, we're working with all law enforcement so that what they're doing is they know the people on the streets who need help. They know when they're in crisis. They know how to identify this. We're really working with them to integrate their work more into the social service network. So they're identifying and they're actually able to take somebody who they've identified to safe shelter immediately. They have the authority to do that. And then in the morning, what will happen is transportation is arranged for that person to go to the mental wellness resource center, where then they're connected with a peer mentor, and that's where the work begins. So they had a safe night, but the work begins tomorrow when they're able to, or Monday morning when they're able to meet with that peer mentor to really say, all right, what's the problem? How can we get you to safety? What do you need access to? And how can we break down those barriers and help connect you to the right thing in the community?
Got it. And I just wanted to follow up on that really, really quick, because that is the new entity that the county has put forward, right? The San Juan County Mental Wellness Resource Center.
Yes.
And that is what would then maybe, I guess, refer them to additional resources in the community in regards to mental health.
Yes, and really, mental health is an umbrella term, and I mean, we want people to, I mean, we as community members and anyone who advocates for people's wellness in general, and especially people who are in a crisis or struggling the most, we want people to understand that umbrella term means there's so many things. You know, that could be food insecurity, that could be housing instability, that could be domestic violence, and whatever that is. And so having this very connected person to these resources is now going to give that person who was going through a crisis a warm handoff. And so what we've been able to do is we've been able to help some people qualify for one of the existing sheltering programs, because we were able to give them a safe night and then help them along the lines of, you know, collecting what they need to be eligible. And we've been able to help turn some people to other services that they need.
Very good. And Jen, you work a lot with the money side of things, so developing that pool. And I know that there is a program that's the government-funded program called EFSP, Emergency Food and Shelter Program. Is this something that you think our efforts would be supported by that? Or, I mean, it gets a little tough because you have these mega issues, then you have partner agencies, and some of the partner agencies are working on mega issues, and then you have these new issues old issues that start being addressed in new ways. So I know that is kind of a convoluted question. I'm not quite sure where the question is in there, but maybe you can just speak to that.
I think I follow you enough. So the Emergency Food and Shelter Program is through FEMA. It is phenomenal. It is not United Way's money, but we are the local, essentially, conduit for it. And so we convene a local board that go over applications for strictly agencies that are providing for food or shelter, but that can include a food bank and also serve meals or congregate meals like at a senior center. And so they do great stuff, and we got almost $250,000 over the last 18 months from them for just that purpose. And so while the local efforts are vital, and that is what our everyday hustle is all about, the dream would be to find a way to parlay, I think, some of that bigger, larger federal funding into a more permanent solution. So do we expand a shelter? Do we create a new program? Do we form some sort of affordable housing? What that looks like, I don't know, but I know that there will be money to go towards these types of big ideas, and so we're going to just need that data to support it, which is where these little Kickstarters are really going to catch fire, I think, is identifying all these gaps, identifying the potential solutions, and then figuring out how to find the money for it, which is my favorite job.
Yeah, I'm super happy. Somebody has to do it. So, and this is probably a good segue, just because of the EFSP conversation, into this utilities issue, which sort of, it was exacerbated by the pandemic for sure, and now we're kind of all wondering. I wonder about where the community's at, especially as it gets colder. So maybe you guys can speak to that, either one of you.
Well, I can speak to that because it's something that's, I have become pretty passionate about this utility issue over the last month, just because, like you said, it's starting to get colder, and so it's a real concern. And it's something that we're getting calls about every day. So we're getting it, so is the Mental Wellness Resource Center. They're getting calls from people around the community who are behind on their utilities, and there is still an eviction moratorium in New Mexico for people who can prove inability to pay their rent. But that doesn't extend any longer to utilities. So utility disconnects are happening every single day for inability to pay. The federal government has appropriated almost $200 million to the state of New Mexico through the Emergency Rental Assistance Program to allocate to anyone in the state who meets the guidelines and qualifications and income eligibility. And so what we're experiencing, and this isn't a unique problem to us in our community, it's a statewide, it's probably a nationwide problem, is there's so many levels of bureaucracy in this that, you know, it's taken a really long time. The process is really jammed up, and the funding that's coming back to relieve the back payments that are needed to take these accounts out of the disconnect schedule, they're taking up to or over a month. And so the state is working on ways with the local utility companies for expediting that, and so they have been working on that with the Farmington Electric Utility Company. But our big concern is just that there are families that every day are getting disconnected for inability to pay, and there's funding available. It's not directly through us. It's more money than we could raise, and that's why we're passionate about it, is because if we can help get more people to access that funding, we can get more done and more impact in our community, because it would take so many more years for us to raise that money, but it's sitting there. And so right now it's really an access problem and a information problem. So people don't understand that the funding is available. They don't know where to apply. They don't know how to apply. And oftentimes it's too late. And so that's a really pressing issue, because for a lot of people that means, you know, they wouldn't be able to go and open up their refrigerator and eat their food or drink water or flush their toilet or turn their heater on for their kids in the morning. Like, things that are important and could be prevented. So
right. And so we can use the United Way as kind of a referral source, can't we, for folks who don't know where to turn to maybe apply for this? I mean, you can certainly point them in the right direction, even though you don't manage that money directly, correct?
Correct. We'll always point people in the right direction, and we like to think that we do that well, because we stay so informed and stay up on what the issues are and what current programs exist. So we want to be able to give people the best referral. And so another way is people could go directly to the Farmington Electric Utility office. The application, you can fill it out there in under 5 minutes, and you don't need to bring any proof for this submission. That comes later, so it's just easy to apply. And if you're renting and you're behind or on a payment plan, it will stop your disconnect just by applying. So I would rather than people call us, I'd rather skip the step and go right to the utility office themselves.
Sure.
Ask them for the application, fill it out, turn it in, disconnect stopped.
So and when you say stopped, it's just kind of on pause?
It's on pause for while the investigator looks into it, reviewed.
Or right, all of that. But still, yes. If you're up for a disconnect, and they're pretty prompt when they decide that they're going to turn off your utilities, you know, if it's tomorrow or the next day or whatever, that does pause that time, that ticking clock.
Yes. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. There's no backlog in the disconnects here, but you can stop them.
And I'm fairly certain that the disconnects are in the millions. So some people, I think, might misunderstand what a small
dollar amount
problem we're looking at. Yeah, you'll hear a little bit of negativity. $2.6 million. So we're not talking about a handful of people who aren't paying their water bills. We're talking about like an epic level that need help, and that's that many people that would be in unlivable circumstances, not using your toilet and such. And to that point, I would like to say also in the same breath as the homelessness, I mean, that has so many different faces. For an example, we met a gentleman a couple years ago who was a veteran, and he was on disability, but he could only afford the cheapest hotel he could find for 2 weeks out of the month. And then the other 2 weeks, he had to go out and camp and go homeless. And mm-hmm. so that's another example mm-hmm. of someone who he can't just get a job. He's a veteran. He has his disability, but that's all as far as it goes, and that's all he can do.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's interesting that's occurring. Mm-hmm. And I think
it is a lot more common than I think people realize, and that's part of what we aim to see show up in this, because we know it. You know, we know these things exist. Law enforcement know these things exist. But we need to come together and show the community or the decision makers, and really, you know, we do want to parlay this information into long-term funding to a long-term solution that's permanent in San Juan County. And so we think that this is the best way to approach it. You know, as individual community organizations can look at the problems and challenges, we can also see how they connect incredibly closely to one of the second largest problems in our community, you know, the disconnect issue. I mean, that would affect thousands of people in our community, and that jeopardizes so many people's housing stability, which then, I mean, like, potentially explodes the problem we were just talking about, you know. And our community, as far as the social services go and the safety nets go, we do not have the capacity to take on a larger homelessness crisis. So we're looking to prevent as many while also studying to see how can we improve the long-term solution.
That's great. And Jen, as we get closer to wrapping up here, let's talk about, speaking of referrals, just reminding people of the hotline at United Way. So we're always trying to remind people that there are resources out there. And so can you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. We do have 211. It is a nationwide thing with United Way, so it's nothing specific to us, but they're all run a little bit differently based on where they're at, what their local problems are, what the funding looks like. And ours is strictly the referral service. So we don't have direct funds to give to anyone. We can't specifically get your lights turned back on, but we are, as Catherine mentioned, trying to constantly stay up to date on what is available and what kind of specific qualifications you would need. And so if you call, then you will get our helpline coordinator, and he'll try to walk through you know, what the problem is and if there is an existing program that you could apply for assistance through. So it's 211, and every now and then there's a hang up if you have a Texas number or something, and you might get a hold of the Texas 211, but generally it's a pretty foolproof and fabulous system. But you can also call 505-636-7110, and that is our other sort of resource link with the Mental Health Wellness Resource Center.
Very good. Gotcha. And this is the point of the program where I remind everyone that I'm a board member of the San Juan United Way, a proud board member.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! And we're so proud to have you.
Well, thank you.
Conflict of interest.
No, I don't think so, but it's also full disclosure. But yes. I also
can't solve problems with us.
But I also commend the other board members who do a lot of the heavy lifting on the board and the work of you two to kind of coordinate all this, because, again, I think it's important to recognize the efforts of the United Way to have an organization like this to be able to coordinate and be at the table with all these other entities that we've talked about this morning, to be able to say, well, hey, we can help with this solution, but we can't do all of it. Can anyone else help with this other part of the solution? And getting everyone together maybe creates that encompassing care for these situations that pop up. If you've got a veteran, or you've got a family that's coming in, or someone that's now homeless in the middle of the night, what do they do? And, you know, we're coming up with an answer, hopefully.
Yes. Thank you so much for recognizing what United Way has the potential of being a convener and really being able to bring these organizations together and do something about it and see what solutions could come of it. So thank you so much.
Well, that's what I've learned in my service on the board these years.
You
but
get
I think
it.
I hope I get it.
You get it. And yeah. I hope that you understand you lift a lot for our organization too. You let us come on to these shows. You make sure, I mean, you help us spread the word. So we appreciate everything you do, Scott.
Well, that's a KSGE thing, and we're happy to do it because that's why we're here. So
thank you.
Thank you for that, everybody. But I think this has been, we're almost have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, but a great program about this solution. And again, just so we're clear, this is a study. So it's kind of a temporary thing with the hopes that we'll study this and see how it goes, and then maybe get more people to maybe ante up, if you will, because it's not cheap, to fund this into the future. Is that the ultimate goal?
Yes, our temporary solution isn't the particular program we would like to fund long term. We would like to fund a year round shelter, and so we're funding temporary shelter for people right now, but yes. Yes, that's what we're looking for. So hopefully late this year, November, you'll hear from us.
Okay, or you'll be back.
We'll be back.
Yeah, right. We'll bring it back.
Always.
Well, certainly investigating is helpful before we spend a bunch of money on something.
Exactly.
So I'm pro the research side of things. So Jen and Catherine, thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and thanks for pounding the pavement for solutions out there.
Thank you. Thank you guys for giving this platform and keeping the community informed, especially while we're locked away.
That's true, but that's what we do. But thank you all very much for coming in. And before we go, if you have another listeners and viewers, if you have a potential solution from the street you want to make us aware of, because even though we know a lot, we don't know everything.
Yeah, I would say.
Despite what Megan says.
I was about ready to say we know less than you could ever imagine.
what does he know anyway?
Very true.
What does this man know? That's a
what
billboard.
Does he know? That's
you're
right.
On that billboard.
I know.
Okay.
So I don't know. So help us.
If you know of a local problem solver, go to our email, ksje@sanjuancollege.edu, ksje@sanjuancollege.edu, and we will field that. And, I mean, that would be great.
So yeah, send there are a lot more solutions out there that we can certainly certainly talk about on this program. And so we'll be back another 2 weeks with another solution, by the way.
Yes.
But next week, it's back to COVID.
It's back to the problem.
Full circle.
That's kind of true. And we're still waiting for that solution, but yeah. We're maybe getting closer.
We're getting
and
close.
So we'll be back with that next week, everybody. But until then, thank you so much for joining us, everybody, and have a great, great week. And stay safe, and we'll see you next Friday here on KSJE. Bye-bye. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a wide variety of live entertainment to the Four Corners. Country music, classic rock, and ballet, all on stage this fall. Also, on-stage theatrical performances of The Rocky Horror Show and the holiday classic A Christmas Carol. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows. KSJE is supported by the San Juan County Board of Realtors.
Did you know that home ownership can help you build a strong financial future? A local realtor is ready to help start the home buying process. Find out more at SanJuanCountyBoardOfRealtors.com. The site lists all local realtor members.
This is 90.9 FM and HD, KSJE, Farmington.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.